give you praise. Despite what it all looks like, despite what it's all been through, despite what might be going on in our lives, David said, as long as I have life, I will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Lord, because this is another day that we can rejoice and be glad in it. I pray your blessings upon the service today, each and every faceted, Lord. Let it be according to your will. Let your words be done, yours, everything be said to glory and edify the name of Jesus. Lord, I empty myself of me. Let nothing be seen but you, Father, your words, your thoughts, your ideas. Lord, help me to give the word according to what you have given this servant today. Open the hearts of the people. Let the hearts take this word, take root in the hearts, Lord. And as you promise, it will not come back to you void. I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about God. We've been talking about his revelation of himself to us. And today I want to close the series out with I am. I am. So the first week was, we have a jealous God, and he admits that. He's jealous for you. He is jealous for you because you are his. And he takes everything that goes on in your life as a very important thing. Nothing is left undone for him. He makes everything work out for your good. And sometimes we like rotten children and we need a little spanking, but God's going to make sure it works to our good. And then the second Sunday was he is love. That is scriptural as well. He is love. And we talked about that last week. But to this week, I want to go on and talk about the God I am. The God I am. So that includes everything else. Anything we may have missed, he is I am. And you get that when you read Exodus 3 and 14. If you want to read along with me, I'll be skipping around. You know I do a lot of scriptures, but I'm trying to minimize that. But Exodus, what we're going to take the text from today is Exodus 3 through 11, or 7 through 11. It's the Egyptian slavery. We're going to talk about that. But Exodus 3 and 14 says that, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. I am means it's to be, he's present. It's not I was, I might be. I'll think about it. It is I am now, whatever it needs to be. Revelations has another I am, and I love that one, Revelations 1 and 8, and this is New Living Translation. It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and the one who is still to come, the Almighty One. Almighty One. And when you look that up in the Greek, that means all powerful. That means ruler of all. So you have a God that is jealous for you. You have a God that is loving for you. And you have an all powerful, almighty God, I am. Isn't that wonderful? That name speaks to not only his eternal self, his self-existent, but his unchangeable self. It speaks to him being the source of life, truth, and salvation. So, Exodus 7, and I'm just going to breeze through these because trust me, I've got enough for two sermons in here. But I want to hit each one of the plagues that come upon Egypt because the Pharaoh refused to release God's people. And we, in a spiritual sense, are in the same situation. Now, we don't war with flesh and blood, so I don't want you to get this twisted into anything else, but I want you to see your God in all this situation. The I am, the one that rules, all-powerful, almighty. So the first thing we see in Exodus 7 was the water that turned to blood. Very indicative of the Savior, the Redeemer, it says that, you know, we were all the children of disobedience at one time. But God expressed his love to us through Jesus Christ. Did he not? He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of the Son and forgave our sins. He indwelt us with the Holy Spirit. That is John 14 and 17. I said, he is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. And that was Jesus talking to the disciples about the Holy Spirit coming. Exodus 7 details the events of the Nile water turning into blood for 7 days. 7 days they had no blood, no water from the Nile, which was a source of their water. All the water turned to blood. It killed everything in the water. Everything died. God wants us to know he is the living water. All who thirst can come and drink, and they will have rivers of living water, which is the Holy Spirit. And he talks about that flowing from your heart. That is in John 7. John 7, 38. And if you look in Revelations, let's go back to the end. We see the source of that. It says, Revelations 22 and 1, it says, then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. I am provision for life. Not just life, but life in right standing. And as the word says, abundantly with God and in eternity with God. The blood. The next three that you see are the frogs, the lice, and the flies. Exodus 8. This speaks to his creator. He is creator. He's still in control, even though he created everything. Exodus 8 details the plagues of frogs, which showed up in abundance and caused chaos, covering them in their homes, in their bedrooms, on their bed. They even found them in their kneading bowls. And in the ovens, the Bible says, in the homes of all the servant and all the people alike. No one was exempt from that. Exodus 8 also talks about lice, and it says that the dust of the earth became lice, which infested man and beast. Anybody seen anybody with lice? That is a horrible thing. It is torture. Because you can't see, but you can feel. Imagine that. Man nor beast. You talk about an anxiety attack, mental health issue, and a physical issue because you're going to scratch and you're going to cause wounds. And then it was the flies. And he says, I will send a swarm of flies on you and your servants and on your people and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies and also the ground on which they stand. You ever had a fly in the house? Drives you insane, doesn't it? Try to sit down at the table and eat something without that thing getting close to you. Or try to watch some TV with the rest of the house dark. It's going to go right to that light. Drive you crazy. Yeah, we got the fly swatters, don't. But imagine having that many flies. And again, if you look, this was only in the Egyptian, the Goshen, where the people of God lived. There wasn't anything there. God made a difference between them and the Egyptians. So again, contamination from the flies. Ugh. Yuck. Devastating for plant life and people and animals. God demonstrates that he is God, Almighty Creator. The earth belongs to him. This is the God that you serve. This is the God who loves you. This is the God who died for your sins. Tell me he won't move heaven and earth for you. Genesis 1 and 28 says that God originally gave us dominion over the earth, right? have dominion over the fishes of the sea, over the fowls of the air, and every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's what God told us, Genesis. But the fall came. Things changed. I love how David wrote in Psalms 8, he says, you made them rulers over the hands of your work. You put everything under their feet. David understood that, even after the fall. But Jesus stood in Matthew 28, and he told the disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. He says, I'm walking in it. And he goes down, and you look in Luke 19, he says, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. I am creator. I am Almighty God. I am the restorer of dominion on earth. I have given you that power. I have never come across the situation when I had to have dominion over an animal. But I think if God, the situation arose and it was God's will, I could speak it and it would be done. My Jesus stood out on the bow of a ship, taking on water. And he rebuked the wind and he spoke to the sea. What makes you think God wouldn't do the same for you? I am Almighty God. Exodus 9 goes in to talk about the severe pestilence which affected the livestock. And in those days, livestock was wealth. May not be always today. We think money is wealth. It is. But back then, livestock was wealth. The more you had, remember Job, the more you owned, the wealthier you were considered. So when this plague of the livestock came in and it only affected the Egyptians' livestock, God said that the Israelite livestock was not affected. Their provision, their food, their physical needs, their financial stability had been removed because the animals became sick and died. We have the promise, though, of protection. We have the promise of provision. Just a couple examples. Psalms 91. For he will rescue you from every trap and protect you from deadly disease. He will cover you with his wings. His feathers, actually, it says. He will shelter you with his wings. There's that word. His faithful promises are your armor and protection. Psalms 91, 3 and 4, that's New Living Translation. As God's children, we have the promise of provision by the divine provider, Jehovah Jireh. Genesis 22, that's when Abraham took his son, only son, to be, you know, put to death. Sacrificed is the word, thank you, on the mountain, Moriah, and God provided the ram. Remember, the whole time he kept saying, his son would ask, we've got everything. We got the fire. We got the wood. Where is the sacrifice, Dad? He said, God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Philippians 4 and 19, let's bring it to the New Testament. God says, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, according to his riches. So don't look at yourself. Don't look at what you got. God says, I got it all. All the earth belongs to me and everything within it. Matthew 6 and 33 tells us not to worry about clothes or body or food, because we're supposed to do what first? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you. Or added to you, one version says. And then my favorite is Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall have all that I need. King James Version says, I shall not want. I am provider. I am provider. If he is able to bring all these things and control all these things, even Pharaoh's magicians couldn't duplicate all of this. They couldn't fix what was going on. It took them a couple of times to figure that out. He says, I am provider. Exodus 9, we talk about the bulls, actual sores. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourself a handful of ashes. I love the way this is brought about. From a furnace, and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh, and it will become fine dust in all the land of Egypt, and it will cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Ashes. How many of us are living in ashes? It's caused a sore now, hasn't it? It's an open wound. It oozes. It reminds me day after day, with every moment, with every waking breath, that I have been through something that did not heal, that I kept open. But what does God say? You know, ashes in the scripture were a sign of mourning and repentance. It was an outward sign of an inward condition. They would sit in ashes. We are promised beauty for ashes. Remember Isaiah 61? To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. It's not just for you. It's for everyone to come by and see your testimony and see that as God has brought you through something, and he will get the glory. Isn't that wonderful? It says the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Isaiah 53 and 5, of course, goes on. This is well quoted. New Living says, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. I am Redeemer. I am provider. I am protector. I am healer. Do you hear your God? I am. I am. Not I was. Not I think about it. I can't be. I might. I am now what you need. I am now what you need. Praise God. Exodus 9 goes on to talk about hail, fire, rain, and thunder. Now, let me tell you something. I've seen hail, and that is ice. But at this time, it fell mixed with fire. That's hot and cold together. Then there was rain, and there was thunder. So heavy that there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt and all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. 31, it says, now the flax and the barley were struck, for the barley was in the head. It was coming to, you know, ripen. It was almost ready to harvest. And the flax was in the bud. These were things that were growing. This was their provisions now. So Moses went out to the city from Pharaoh and spread out his hands to the Lord. And he asked the thunder and the hail. It ceased and the rain was no more poured on the earth. But it destroyed the crops, the current crops of the Egyptian, what they were going to eat. Oh, it didn't stop there. Pharaoh's heart still hardened. And the next thing we see is locusts. Ooh, do you remember locusts? Verse 15 says, for they covered the face of the whole earth so that the land was darkened. It was so thick, it was darkened. And they ate every herb of the land and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. So there remained nothing, nothing green on the tree or on the plants of the field throughout all of the land of Egypt. The locust was a devourer. In the Hebrew word, it means eater. In the Bible, the devourer typically refers to the forces that destroy resources, like pests, and they consume crops. But it can also symbolize any destructive force that threatens a community's prosperity. like plant disease. But what does Micah 3 and 10 say through 11? Bring all the tithes into the storehouse so that there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord God, Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from the insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the vine because they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for your land will be a delight, says the Lord of heaven's armies. That's a New Living Translation. All my labor won't be in vain. Have you planted something? Took special care to put it in the right soil, watered it, gave it food and supplement, whatever it needed, and that sucker not produce? We have a future and a hope. I am, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Again, I am his provider. I am his hope. Exodus 10 has the darkness. It says that Moses stretched out his hands toward heaven, that there be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which can be felt. I have felt that darkness before when the enemy came. And Moses stretched forth his hands toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. Have you ever been instructed by the doctor to stay in a dark place? It's hard to do unless you're like almost unconscious. It's hard because you can't see anything. So your rhythm is messed up. When do you sleep? When do you stay awake? You can't read things. You can't look at things. You can't have light in. My daughter had a concussion not too long ago, and I flew down there because he told her to get into a dark room and stay there for days because her brain has swelled up like 70%. This girl was sneaking out at night, getting in the car, driving down to McDonald's to get a Coke, going to the mailbox, just anything to get out of that dark room that I had put her in for 24 hours. Darkness makes you realize a lot of things, doesn't it? You feel things, you hear things, you see things that aren't really seeing things. It changes your perspective of things, doesn't it? But it says that the Israelites had a light source in their dwelling, and it wasn't a candle. It was a spiritual, it was a godly thing that was the source for them. And it reminds me of Jesus, my light. John 8 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You ain't no life in the darkness. You're just stumbling around trying to find your way, right? Isn't that right? But you are not like them. For you are chosen people, you are royal priests, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. I am, came and got me out of the darkness. I am. He gave me forgiveness, and he brought me from a life that I don't ever want to go back to. Some of you may have walked just a little in the darkness, but some of us walked real deep in that darkness. I am what you need. Exodus 11 was the final plague. It was the death of the firstborn. And it says, all the firstborn sons will die in every family in Egypt, from the oldest son of Pharaoh who sits on his throne to the oldest son of the lowest servant girl who grinds the flour. even the firstborn of all the livestock will die. Then a loud wail will rise throughout the land of Egypt, a wail like no one has ever heard before or will ever hear again. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. Then you will find and you will know that the Lord makes the distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. It says in the story, if you read it, Pharaoh didn't wait till daylight. He went and got Moses and Aaron. He sent for them in the dark at night. Said, get your people out. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because of God raised Jesus from the dead, now we live with great expectations and we have a priceless inheritance. An inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure, undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive this salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I am eternal. Your service here is not just going to be your service here. You are laying up treasures in heaven. And one day you're going to reap what you sow. What are you sowing? I am that I am. Our God is jealous for us. Our God is loving because he came and he got us. And while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. And he's telling you today, I am that I am. There is nothing beyond me. Nothing above me. I am what you need. What do you need from him today? He's given you everything. He showed in Egypt that he was all-powerful, almighty. Nothing was out of his hands. Not even his people. You have a lot to be grateful for. You have a lot to be thankful for. But do me a favor. Don't take this all-powerful God, put him in a box, and treat him like a genie. He is not to be treated that way. He will do what his will is for your life. And the sooner you learn to say, not my will, but thine, Lord, that's when you walk in that blessing. For when you try to work it out for yourself and try to make the plans that you want God to do, it's not going to work out good. How many of you all been there? I have. I had thoughts and plans. I thought it would work out this way. I thought it would happen this way. God had something greater. I've always found it's greater. It's greater. It's easier. It has peace. It has joy. I don't have to work and maintain it. Not out of his will. He says, I am today. I am. Not I might. I can't. I'll think about it. I am. Remember who he is. He's jealous for you. He loves you. And he is present. I am Almighty. Father, we thank you for your words today. We thank you for your revealing yourself to us. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that all the names that we have given you over the years, it's just I am. I am whatever I need to be, whatever I need to do. I am. And there is nothing above me, and everything belongs to me. We thank you that we can look in our lives and see your hand has moved in miraculous ways. And sometimes we forget, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for treating you like a McDonald's drive-thru. Just order up what we want and go on. Because we know it doesn't work that way. Thank you, Lord, that you love us, and that you are Almighty God. In Jesus' name, amen.